Welcome to the Confluence Investment Management Asset Allocation Biweekly Report for June 15th, 2026. I'm Phil Adler. It was a bit of welcome news for consumers. World oil prices were moderating in early June, even though the Strait of Hormuz remained essentially closed. Confluence Chief Market Strategist Patrick Fearon-Hernandez joins us today to explain why and discuss whether this is just a short-term phenomenon. Patrick, the title of your report this week is the obvious answer to our question about why oil prices were moderating. China cuts its energy imports. By how much?
Well, hi, Phil. Thanks for having me on the program. And to answer your question, the latest data suggests Chinese crude oil imports have fallen to roughly 6.6 million barrels per day versus an average of about 10.6 million barrels per day last year. That's a decline of about 4 million barrels per day, or nearly 38%. Now, in the context of the global oil market, that's a huge adjustment. It effectively removes almost 4% of world oil demand in a very short period of time. That reduction appears to be one of the key reasons global oil prices have stabilized recently, despite the ongoing disruption in the Persian Gulf. Investors and analysts initially expected a much larger and more persistent spike in prices after the de facto closure of the Strait of Hormuz. Instead, China essentially absorbed part of the shock by sharply reducing its imports.
And how does this reduction of imports by China compare to the amount of oil which normally flows through the Strait of Hormuz?
Well, normally, roughly 20 million barrels per day or so move through the Strait of Hormuz. That's roughly one-fifth of global petroleum consumption. Analysts estimate the net disruption from the closure has ranged from 6 to 12 million barrels per day, depending on how much has been rerouted through pipelines and alternative shipping channels. So when China cuts imports by 4 million barrels per day, it offsets a very meaningful portion of the lost flow. What's fascinating is that the market initially focused almost entirely on the supply shock coming from the Middle East. What it missed was the size of the demand response from China. In commodity markets, prices are always determined by both supply and demand, and China effectively altered that equation.
Now, is China able to do this because it already has huge stockpiles of oil?
That's almost certainly a major factor. China's energy inventories are notoriously opaque, but outside analysts increasingly believe the country may possess the world's largest combined strategic and commercial petroleum reserves. China has spent years preparing for energy disruptions. Beijing recognized long ago that dependence on seaborne oil passing through narrow choke points like Hormuz and Malacca represented a strategic vulnerability. So it's steadily built reserves, expanded storage infrastructure, diversified suppliers, and invested heavily in domestic energy alternatives. As a result, China now appears to have enough inventory flexibility to temporarily slash imports when prices become prohibitively expensive.
Well, also, China does rely on much more than just imported oil to meet its energy needs. What role does a diversity of energy resources play?
Well, it plays a huge role. China's all-of-the-above energy strategy is probably being validated right now. Over the last two decades, China invested simultaneously in coal, nuclear, hydroelectric power, natural gas, renewables, battery storage, electric vehicles, and transmission infrastructure. That strategy prioritized resilience and flexibility above all else. Today, that diversification gives Beijing options. It can lean more heavily on domestic coal generation, it can accelerate nuclear output, it can rely more on renewable energy and battery storage systems, it can reduce gasoline and diesel demand through its extensive electric vehicle fleet. That's a lot of diversification.
And how long might China be able to continue to curtail its energy imports at this rate?
Well, that depends on several factors, especially the true size of China's inventories and how much economic slowdown Beijing is willing to tolerate. If reserve estimates are even roughly correct, China could theoretically maintain reduced imports for many months, but there would likely be some costs. Inventory drawdowns aren't sustainable indefinitely. So I would characterize this as a medium-term cushion rather than a permanent solution. China can soften the blow for a while, while, but eventually the world still needs stable Gulf energy flows restored.
Trick, are there other reasons that might help explain the moderation in oil prices? For instance, increased production by the big producers like the United States or Venezuela, Brazil?
Absolutely. Increased non-Middle Eastern production is another important factor here. The U.S. remains a massive producer, and production growth from Latin America has been especially significant this year. Brazil, Guyana, and Argentina are all increasing output aggressively, while Venezuela has also begun recovering some production after sanctions relief and restructuring efforts. None of this fully compensates for a prolonged Hormuz closure, but incremental supply growth from the Americas helps prevent a true panic scenario.
Are oil importers also finding some ways to circumvent, at least to some extent, the Strait of Hormuz?
Yes, though the alternatives remain limited. Saudi Arabia and the UAE have pipelines that bypass the strait entirely. Saudi Arabia's east-west petrol line can move crude from the Gulf Coast to the Red Sea, for example, while the UAE's Habesham-Fujairah pipeline allows exports directly onto the Gulf of Oman. But operational bottlenecks, storage limitations, tanker congestion, and security risks all reduce effective throughput. Most analysts believe these alternatives can replace only a fraction of normal Hormuz traffic.
Patrick, I was also wondering that maybe rationing by oil-consuming countries and adjustments by consumers might be having an effect on oil prices.
Yes, although it's happening more through market behavior than formal rationing. Consumers and businesses naturally reduce consumption when energy prices spike. Airlines trim flights, for example. Manufacturers cut output. Consumers drive less or delay discretionary travel. So the demand destruction we're seeing is very real. It's one reason prices haven't entered a full-blown supply panic despite ongoing geopolitical disruptions.
Well, at any rate, this news on managing energy imports makes China look like a big success story. I imagine other countries are impressed. When the strait does reopen, can we expect many countries to change their energy policies?
I think there's a very good chance of that. This episode highlights the strategic value of energy resilience. Governments around the world are probably reassessing whether maximizing efficiency alone is sufficient in an increasingly fragmented geopolitical environment. We may see more countries rebuild strategic petroleum reserves, diversify their energy systems, and accelerate investment in domestic production and renewables, nuclear energy, and battery storage.
Bottom line, taking into account this information on how China is reducing its energy imports, do you think world oil prices will find a range at current levels, or are steep increases still likely?
Well, I think the risk of renewed price spikes remains substantial. China's import reductions have clearly provided temporary relief. Expanded non-Middle Eastern production and alternative transport routes have also helped stabilize markets. But the underlying situation remains fragile. The world is still drawing down inventories. The Strait of Hormuz remains largely closed. Shipping patterns remain disrupted. So I suspect we may remain in a volatile trading range near current levels for the short term, but with persistent upside risk.
Which brings me to the final question today. How has Confluence positioned model portfolios to accommodate its projection of oil prices?
Well, we continue emphasizing diversification and risk management. Even though oil prices recently moderated, we still see elevated geopolitical and inflation risks. That argues for maintaining exposure to real assets and sectors that can benefit from structurally higher commodity prices over time. Now, we also remain attentive to interest rate sensitivity. Earlier this spring, lower oil prices helped Treasury yield to retreat somewhat and revived investor enthusiasm for large-cap technology and AI-related equities. But if energy prices resume rising, we could easily see renewed inflation concerns and another rotation toward value-oriented and commodity-linked investments.
Thank you, Patrick. The title of this week's report is China Cuts Its Energy Imports. And you can find a link to the written report dated June 15th, 2026 on the Confluence webpage, confluenceinvestment.com. Our discussion today is based upon sources and data believed to be accurate and reliable. Opinions and forward-looking statements expressed are subject to change without notice. This information does not constitute a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any security. Our audio engineer is Dane Stoll. I'm Phil Adler.